Chapter 15. Lovers or Friends? It was Saturday evening, but Stephanie had nowhere to go. She sat on the sofa looking at the telephone. Max had not spoken to her on the flight home, and at Stansted Airport he had kissed her goodbye and gone to get a train. A week had passed, and he had not telephoned her. How could a holiday end so badly, she wondered. It had all been going so well with Max before the holiday. She thought about their last evening in Italy. It seemed a million years ago now. Max had asked her to live with him, and now he wasn't speaking to her. She wanted to cry. She had had a bad week. She couldn't help thinking about Carlo. If she had never kissed him that evening, they would still be friends. Now she felt she had no one, no friend, and no lover. She picked up the phone, and although she thought Max was probably not at home, she called his number. She waited. Finally, he answered. Max, she said before he could speak. I love you. Please believe me. Max didn't say anything for a few seconds, then said, I can't. Well, at least, Max, can we still be friends? Just friends? Asked Max. Yes, said Stephanie. Just good friends. To her surprise, Max started to laugh. Do you know what a good friend is? He asked.
Of course I do. I've got lots of good friends, said Stephanie.
Including Carlo, Max said.
Carlo was a good friend, but we destroyed it. I understand that now. I feel so lonely. Last week you were both my friends. Now I've got neither of you.
There was a silence. Was Max feeling sorry for what had happened? Stephanie, he said, I'll tell you what a good friend is. A good friend is someone who is honest with you.
Okay, Max, said Stephanie. Maybe I'm not good at being good friends, but you know we were good lovers. Didn't you enjoy being with me?
Yes, I did, said Max sadly. But it's over, Stephanie. I can't have a relationship with a woman I can't trust.
You can trust me, said Stephanie. I promise I shall never let it happen again.
It's too late, said Max. I'm sorry. Stephanie put the phone down. She wanted to cry. Then suddenly she felt angry. If it wasn't for her, Max wouldn't have had a holiday at all. It wasn't fair that she should be left with nothing. She went and looked in the mirror. Well, perhaps not nothing, she thought, looking at herself in the mirror. I still look pretty, and I've still got other friends. She picked up the phone again. She called a friend, a woman this time, and asked her if she wanted to meet her in a club later that night. She then put on her red dress, made up her face, and went out of her flat. She didn't need Carlo and Max, she thought. Tonight was Saturday night. She wasn't going to sit at home all evening feeling sorry for herself. She was going out to have a good time. Here's the beginning of another book at this level.
The House by the Sea by Patricia Aspinall. Chapter 1. Old Friends. It was lunchtime. I'd been in the Jolly Sailor pub in West London for about half an hour when I saw a man sitting by himself in a corner of the room. Although I didn't know his name, I was sure I knew him from somewhere. He had grey hair, and he was looking out of the window at the River Thames. I don't usually go to the pub at lunchtime, but it was the birthday of one of the other journalists at work. There were four of us. I asked them if they knew the man sitting in the corner. They looked over, but no one knew him. I don't know why, but I just kept looking at him, trying to remember. Finally, when we were all about to go back to work, the man turned round and looked straight at me. He knew me, I could see, because he smiled at me. Who was he? Then I realized it was someone I'd been at university with 5 years ago. I couldn't remember his name immediately. He looked so old. He started to get up from his chair, and I walked over to him. As I got closer, I remembered his name. "Carl," I said. "Good to see you. What are you doing here?" I held out my hand. "John, what a surprise. It's been such a long time." He shook my hand and then put both hands on my arms. "It's good to see you. You know, you're the first person I've seen from university for a long time." Those were good times, weren't they? It was clear that Carl was pleased to see me, but at first he wasn't sure what to say to me. He looked so different from the young, happy student I used to know. We were the same age, but he looked a lot older than me. His hair was going grey, and his face had a worried look. He was also much thinner than I remembered him. Carl pointed at the seat he had just left. "Let's sit down," he said. "I'll get you a drink." I had to go back to work, but Carl was an old friend, a good friend. We'd had a lot of fun together at university. I couldn't say no. "Yes," I said. "Okay." I told my friends from work that I would come back to the office soon. They left, and I waited while Carl bought two drinks. It was hard to believe this was the same man I'd been to university with. He looked so white and thin. Had something happened to him? Maybe he's just been in hospital, I thought. Because I'm a journalist, I always ask questions. But when Carl came back with the drinks, I didn't say anything about the way he looked. "So, Carl," I said, "I've just been trying to remember the last time we met. I think it was at your wedding. That was quite a day, wasn't it?" Carl just nodded his head and smiled in a sad way. I didn't know what else to say, so I kept talking. "Isn't it terrible that we haven't seen each other since then?" I said. "How's Linda? Have you got any kids yet?" Carl stopped smiling and looked at me strangely.